Well, last Sunday, the message was centered on God's Word, and specifically delighting in God's Word. Today, however, we are going to be focusing on prayer. It is my intention that at the beginning of every year, I start a sermon dedicated to the Word of God, that is the Bible, and a sermon dedicated to that of prayer. These two disciplines, brothers and sisters, are essential. They are essential for the life of the Christian. Without a regular dose of God's Word and prayer, your relationship with God will suffer. Your resistance to temptation will crumble, and your witness for Christ will wither and wane. A professional athlete cannot perform at a high level if they do not consistently practice the disciplines of working out and eating properly. And in the same manner, in the same way, a Christian will not grow in their relationship with God if they do not regularly and consistently practice the disciplines of reading God's Word and of praying to the Lord. And so, with the dawn of each year, my intention is to remind us all of the importance, the essential nature of these disciplines, in order to light a fire in all of our hearts to continue to commit to practicing them. Now this year, I felt particularly led to focus on delighting in the Lord through these disciplines. Psalm 37:4 commands us to delight in the Lord. We are commanded to feel a certain way. We are commanded to delight in, to rejoice in, to take pleasure in God. Now, how do we do this? Well, I believe that one way we delight in the Lord is through the practice of these disciplines, of praying and reading the Word. And so I don't want the disciplines of prayer and of Bible study to be a duty with no delight. Rather, I want you to delight in the Lord in doing these disciplines. Now, last week, I focused on and showed how delighting in the Word leads to delighting in God. And today, I intend to show how we delight in the Lord through prayer. Now, though the sermon text that Rich just read was Psalm 145, today I will not be expositing and explaining this text verse by verse. Rather, this is going to be a more topical sermon. This psalm, Psalm 145, is more a model of two types of prayer that I really want to focus on this morning. Namely, those types are prayers of adoration and prayers of thanksgiving. And so what we're going to look at first is taking a look at each one of those prayers in more detail, and then we're going to look at how we pray in this manner and how specifically we delight in God through prayer. Okay? So that's where we're heading. And first, we're going to start off by looking at this type of prayer, specifically this prayer of adoration. Okay? Adoration is praising God for who he is. Okay? It is praising God for who he is. The focus is on him and on his attributes, his characteristics. And as we consider and as we reflect on these characteristics, we praise and adore him for who he is. You see, adoration is 100% God-centered. And so here are some examples from the Bible that list God's characteristics, who he is. And I would suggest that they can be turned directly into prayers to the Lord. Psalm 145, that was the psalm that Rich read this morning. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all he made. It's like five characteristics right there in two two verses. Psalm 103:13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. It speaks of the unchangeable character of God, something that is glorious, that ought to be praised. Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand stretched out, and who will turn it back? Exodus 15:11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Psalm 63:1-4. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Two more. Deuteronomy 32:3-4. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is just a small sampling of what the Bible reveals to us about God's character and his attributes. And let me suggest that they are to be the subject and the source of our prayers of adoration. We'll get a little bit more into the practicality of how to pray these verses back to the Lord. But for now, understand that the prayers of adoration are prayers that praise God for who he is. It is adoring God for his faithfulness. It is praising God for his steadfast love and compassion. It is rejoicing in God's holiness and glory and majesty. It is adoring him for his sovereignty and power. It is praising him for his mercy and grace. It is praising God for who he is. So adoration was the first type of prayer that I wanted to look at this morning. Now the second one is the prayers of thanksgiving. Now prayers of thanksgiving, as you might guess, are prayers that primarily focus on what God has done. It is praising God for how he has acted throughout history, but also how he has personally acted in our own lives. The focus is on God and what he has done, his mighty works. Now, as a side note, I have to say, there is certainly overlap, right, between the prayers of adoration and prayers of thanksgiving. Truly, it is a completely artificial distinction. There is nowhere in the Bible that specifically defines adoration is being limited to praising God for who he is and as defining thanksgiving as praising God for what he has done. There's no Bible definition of those two terms. It is perfectly fine to thank God for his mercy and his steadfast love. But even though this division is completely artificial, I do think that the distinction is actually very helpful. And the reason why I think it is beneficial is because it helps us to do both praying, it helps us to both praise him for who he is and for what he has done. Sometimes we can elevate one over the other, or we can forget about one instead of the other. And so having this distinction, I think, helps us to pray for both who he is and for what he has done. And so, yes, there is overlap. We must understand that it is okay to thank God for who he is and to adore God for what he has done. But for that being said, for our purposes, we will define thanksgiving, prayers of thanksgiving, as primarily offering thanks to God for what he has done. And the Bible, brothers and sisters, is littered with examples of people praying and giving thanks to God for what he has done, or for reasons why we can give thanks to God for what he has done. I'll read a few of them now. Psalm 145, verses 4 through 7. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundance, of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Or Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, there is plenty. There is plenty in those five verses to give thanks to God for. Psalm 50, verses 14 through 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. God is saying, you cry out to me, I will deliver you, you will then turn back and give thanks and glorify my name. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a glorious passage to pray through and give thanks to God for, that Christ has taken our iniquity so that we may be healed. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because it is through Christ Jesus that the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Whew! Revelation 4:11, worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I live now, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Brothers and sisters, these are just some of the examples of the from the Bible of giving thanks to God for what he has done. It is thanking him for his mighty works, thanking him for providing for your needs, thanking him for delivering you and saving you and declaring you right before God. It is prayer that gives thanks to God for what he has done. And so those are the two types of prayer that I want to focus on this morning. And I really want to encourage you to incorporate these types of prayer in your daily prayer time. In your daily time of prayer, I want to encourage you, don't just run to petition. Don't just run to God and ask him for things, which is okay. Please still keep asking things from your Heavenly Father. He delights to hear those things. But what I want to encourage you is to also include praising God for who he is and for what he has done. And now, as we enter into this final point, I want to focus on, okay, how do we do that? How do we pray in this manner? How do we offer up prayers of adoration and thanksgiving? And most importantly, why? Why do we do it? And so let's start with the how. How do we offer up prayers of adoration and thanksgiving to God? Well, in one sense, it is very simple. Okay? You praise God for who he is, and you thank God for what he has done, right? I don't want to overcomplicate things here. There's just one problem, okay? The problem is that when we tend to make up our own prayers, we tend to pray the same things every day. Or we may even essentially say the same things every day. And as a result, our prayer time might seem more mechanical and rehearsed. I know that I fall into this pattern. And so how do we get out of this rut in prayer? How do we pray naturally and passionately with the God who loves us most and whom we love? We pray with the Bible. We pray with the Bible. We use the Bible and its words to shape and fuel our prayers. Praying with an open Bible helps in so many ways. It helps to pray through things that you would have never prayed about on your own. You've never even thought to pray about it. Praying with an open Bible helps you to not pray the same old things every day. And using Scripture as a guide, it keeps your mind from wandering and keeps you focused during your time of prayer. And so I strongly encourage you to include praying the Scriptures as part of your daily routine. This discipline, I think, will greatly improve your prayer life. Now, to be clear, there is nothing wrong with making up prayers without the Bible, right? That's still okay. I'm not saying don't do that. But what I am saying is incorporate the Bible in your praying. Have the Bible open. Pray Scriptures back to God. And I think you'll see a great benefit in your time of prayer. And so how do we do this, right? Do we just recite the words from the Bible? Well, let me model for you exactly how you could do this, right? I'm going to take some of the passages that I just read, I'm going to read them again, and then I'm going to just, on the spot, pray it to the Lord, okay? Might be a little awkward, I might close my eyes, you guys are going to just look at me, but it's okay, all right? This is just a model, right? You don't have to write this down, this is how I pray this prayer, okay? This is just reading Scripture and then allowing it to lead you, using even some of the vocabulary, to pray to the Lord, okay? So let's take first Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. So you might pray something like this. O Heavenly Father, I praise you that you are unchanging, that I never have to worry that you're going to somehow change your mind about salvation or change your mind about me or change how you act towards us, but how you revealed yourself in the Bible is who you are. You are faithful. You are a rock upon which I can stand. And in a world and in a society that is fickle and always changing, oh God, it is so good to know that you are unchanging. And I praise you that you are the God who does not change. Amen. Okay, so that, you could do something like that, all right? Or I'm going to keep going. We're going to awkwardly do this three or four more times, all right? Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. great is your faithfulness. You could pray something like, oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning because I am a sinner every morning. And every day I screw up. And I confess, God, my sins. And Lord, I am so grateful that you are a God who is merciful. Father, I praise you for your steadfast love. I praise you for your mercies, which are new every morning. Give me the strength, Lord God, to walk in ways that are pleasing in your sight. To trust and look to your mercy and your steadfast love. But God, also help me to show steadfast love and mercy to those who have wronged me in my life. Might pray something like that. Or Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Father God, thank you that there is now no condemnation. No condemnation is declared over me because I am in Christ. And I thank you, God, that my sin has been washed away, that I am pure in your sight. That you've taken my sin-soaked clothes and you have made them as white as snow. I thank you, God, that in the court of heaven you have wrapped the gavel and it is not guilty, but rather no condemnation. All because of Christ. The exchange of his righteousness for my unrighteousness is beyond my words, God, and I praise you and I give you thanks for what Christ has done. So that I am now free and declared not guilty in your sight. Two more. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. O Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have created all things, that all things were made and fashioned by your hand. From the tiniest worm to the biggest star, you have created all things and you created them with a purpose. And their purpose, God, is to glorify, honor, and exalt your name. And so, Father, you are worthy. You are worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor, worthy of all glory. And I pray, God, that you would work in my heart such that I would praise, glory, and honor your name. Help me, Father, to do so, I pray. Amen. One last one, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Oh God, I thank you that you are my shepherd. You're not just a shepherd, but you're my personal shepherd. You lead me, you guide me, you protect me, you feed me, you sustain me. You carry me at times. You are my shepherd. And there is nothing else that I want in this world than to lay in your pastures and be led by you, my good shepherd. Forgive me when I wander, and thank you when you use your shepherd's crook to pull me back. You are a good shepherd, and I love you. Do you see how you can use Scripture in a powerful way to pray in a way that you would have probably not prayed had you didn't have the Bible open in front of you? Let the words of Scripture lead you into praying, lead you into adoring and giving thanks to God by praying the Scriptures back to God. Brothers and sisters, it is my desire that you don't just listen to this sermon, leave, and then don't put it into practice. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would be stirring in your heart right now, lighting a flame in the bones of your heart. You don't have bones in your heart, but you get what I mean, right? In your bones to go forth from this place and to pray the Scriptures back to him. I pray that you would do it later today or tomorrow morning, that you pray by yourself or with your spouse or with your children or with your small group, that you would pray in this fashion of taking a piece of Scripture and praying it back to the Lord. And so my prayer, my challenge for all of us is that over the next 2 weeks, that you incorporate praying the Scriptures back to God. That you would commit to incorporating praying the Bible in your daily prayer time. And let me tell you, I think you will be amazed. You will be amazed at how your prayer life is impacted for the better as a result. And in praying for loved ones, can you imagine using the Bible and praying over your loved ones? Now, why am I harping on this method of prayer, right? And why am I specifically harping on prayers of adoration and thanksgiving? Here's the reason. It's the purpose of the entire sermon that I'm giving. This is it. This is the purpose. I want you to delight in the Lord. I want you to cherish Him. I want you to grow more and more and in your love and in your adoration for the Lord. I want you to desire Christ above all things. I want you to treasure God so much and all that He is for you in Christ. I want you to be satisfied in God. And I want you to see the things of this world as rubbish, as garbage in comparison. I want you to delight in God with all of your heart and with all of your might. Brothers and sisters, that's part of my job as your pastor. Do you know that? 2 Corinthians 1:24 says that I am a worker for your joy. And the greatest joy that you can have is the delight in the Lord. There is nothing better in all this world. You can have all of this world. All of it. All of it. And if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. I want you to delight in the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart that delighting in the Lord is the byproduct of praying in this fashion. That when you adore God for who He is and give thanks to what he has done, those prayers overflow into delighting in God. Prayers of adoration and thanksgiving naturally lead to delighting in God. How can you not delight in God when you read and pray, God, you have saved me from my sin? How can you not delight in God when you read how He will provide every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus? How can we not delight in God when we read that there is no condemnation for those who trust in Christ? Now, what's interesting is that the same works in the opposite. When we delight in God, then we also naturally spill forth into adoring and giving thanks to Him. It would be totally unnatural and disingenuous to offer praise for something that you don't delight in. But when you do delight in something, when you love a song or a movie or a book, the most natural thing is to tell others about it, to delight in it. And so this leads to this glorious cycle. When we offer prayers of adoration and thanksgiving to God, it leads us to delighting in the Lord. And when we delight in the Lord, what does that lead us to do? It leads us to adore and give thanks to Him, which leads us to more delight in the Lord. And the cycle continues and brings more and more joy and delight in our God. And we'll be doing this for eternity. I can't wait. And so, brothers and sisters, commit to praising God for who He is and what He has done. Pray the scriptures back to God as you do so. And as a result, delight in the Lord through prayer. And so as we close, let me give a personal story about all of this. Okay? Every day, before I open my laptop to do any bit of work, I sit in my office and I read my Bible and I read my Bible reading plan. And then I go outside and I walk up and down the driveway and I pray. This is my prayer closet, so to speak. And it is my joy and delight. I love it every morning just being outside and praying. And there have been some days that I am very distracted and my mind wanders often. And there are some days that are subjectively feel better than others when I pray. But overall, I would say that I really enjoy my time of prayer, walking up and down. I really hope that I wear a path up and down. You could see where I do my walk. But lately, I have to confess that I've been feeling like my prayers have been very repetitious. How I've been, that what I said earlier has been true of me lately. I have felt almost that I was reciting essentially the same string of prayers every day. And as a result, I was feeling very dry in my time of prayer. But then starting in the new year, I began incorporating this technique of praying in my daily time of prayer. And brothers and sisters, it has been a complete game changer for me. Now let me tell you, I have certainly in the past prayed scripture back to the Lord. But not to this extent and not this consistently. And let me tell you, as a result of this, as a result of daily taking a piece of scripture and praying it back to God, my prayers have been sweeter, have been more natural, and have given me greater joy in the Lord. I have been really just delighting in God so much more as a result of this simple practice. All I did was take one psalm a day, one psalm, and prayed it back to God. I take each verse and just use it to springboard me into prayers. Prayers of adoration, of thanksgiving, of confession, of petition, of praise. And I let the words of Scripture, God's words, I let them lead me into praying for myself and my shortcomings, my failures and my needs. I've let Scripture lead me into praying for my wife and my kids and my family. As I've read through the Scriptures, it has led me to praying for our church and for all of you. And oh, how I've loved it. And oh, how my desire is for you to delight in God through prayer in this fashion. And so I reissue the challenge that I made earlier. I encourage and challenge every one of us for the next 2 weeks to incorporate praying the Scriptures in your daily time of prayer. You could start with Psalm 1 and on day 1, and then Psalm 2 on day 2, and then systematically continue to go through the Psalms. You could do that. Truly, any passage of Scripture can be used. You can use whatever you are reading in your daily reading that day, in the Bible. I find the Psalms to be the easiest to pray back to God because they are already prayers. God wrote us a prayer book to pray back to Him. And so the Psalms, I think, are the easiest. So you could do that. I have also compiled a list of some passages which are located on the back of your bulletin, okay? So if you look at the back of your bulletin, there's a list of 14 passages that I've compiled. There are some are in the Psalms, some are outside of the Psalms, some are Old Testament, some are New Testament. And I believe that these are a bit easier to pray through. There are, as I said, 14 listed, so you could do one a day. And I would suggest that you commit to taking that psalm for the day and just slowly praying it back to God. Let it lead you into prayer. These are, as I said, easier, they're more natural, they're more set up to quickly go into prayer. And what I encourage you is that after you go through these 2 weeks of praying through these particular verses, then maybe you go back to Psalm 1 and systematically go through the Psalms, okay? I want you to get a hang of doing this, get a hang of and a handle of praying the Scriptures back to God. And so I'm not going to read them out loud. If you just take a bulletin, on the back there's the 14 that I have listed for you there. And so again, my prayer is that after you go through these 2 weeks, after you pray these 2 weeks of passages, that you would continue to incorporate praying the Scriptures back to God in your daily time of prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, I want you to behold God in His glory. I want you to delight in the Lord. I want you to treasure and cherish Him through reading His Word and through prayer. And I hope that you've seen in this message this morning that offering prayers of adoration and thanksgiving, especially those guided by God's Word, lead to delighting in God. And so my plea is that you would find great joy in the Lord through reading His Word and through prayer. May we be a people, may we be a church who delights in God through prayer. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious God and Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You, for You are the God who has delivered us. You are the God who provides for us. You are the God who sent Your Son Jesus to rescue us. And so we come before this morning offering thanks to You for who You are and for what You have done. We praise You, God, for You are good, and You are righteous, and You are holy, and You are merciful and gracious and good, and You are unchanging. We never have to worry that You're not going to be good at some point or not going to be merciful at some point. You are merciful and just, and we can rely on that. Help us, Father, to be men and women of prayer, men and women who are mighty in prayer, who delight to pray as we delight in You. Help us, Lord God, to be strong in keeping the disciplines of reading Your Word and of praying to You, God, and would we find great joy and delight in You as we do so. You are our God. You are our King. And we love You. We ask all these things, Christ Jesus, in Your mighty name. Amen.